This is Notes from a Native Daughter. I am Sol Daniela. My guest today is the lovely and amazing Alfonso Diaz, a consummate professional presently serving as the entertainment correspondent and international editor for entertainment for NTN 24, Colombian channel. We will talk about that later. I don't know anyone that doesn't love or appreciate and respect Alfonso Diaz, especially here in the city of New York, in the entertainment world, in the Latino, Hispanic, Pan-American milieu, even though he does other things, because he's elegant, he's poised, he's well-spoken, always says yes, curious, profound. And it's a pleasure to have become his friend throughout the years of working together. And we wanted to talk, and so here we are. Gracias. Gracias.
A ti, thank you so much, Sol Daniela, and thank you so very much for that introduction. I'm kind of embarrassed that you were saying all of these things, so thank you so much.
No, don't be embarrassed. It comes from my heart, and it's true and sincere.
The feeling is mutual. You must know that.
Thank you, my dear. So, Alfonso, I'm curious to know, I don't know, who nurtured you? Like, who brought you up? Like, I know you're from Colombia, but talk a little bit about that.
Well, my father was a judge and lawyer in Colombia, and he was very strict, and he was very, always very concerned about our education, and he always insisted that we had to be cultivated as much as we can, because he always said that the world was very challenging and we had to have, me and my siblings, all the necessary tools to accomplish anything that we wanted to accomplish in our lives. And then I had my mother, who is still with us. Thank God my father is not, but my mother is still with us. And she has been quite an example of respect, understanding, tolerance, and she's an endless inspiration for me. Yes, that's the two people that are responsible for me being somebody who tries to be professional and respectful, not only to the things that I do, my profession, but also to the people that I work with. And as you know, in this industry, it's very important to create solid relationships with everybody that you get in touch with.
Absolutely. And how was your journey, I guess, from childhood to being interested in being a journalist?
Well, I always was enchanted with the world of entertainment, and I always knew that I was going to end up doing something like this. And I remember that when I was very little, I was obsessed with New York. And since I was like five, I used to tell my family, my parents, my sisters, that I was going to live in New York and that I was going to make a life in New York at that age. And then time passed, and I finished high school, and I wanted to study something related to the world of entertainment, and I studied social communication. So that was my bachelor's degree. And after I finished, I decided to just first come to the United States. So with the help of my parents, I came here. I furthered my studies here. I first studied marketing because I thought at a certain point that that was a way to go. But always the world of entertainment found a way to find me. And I always was happy with that acquaintance. And yes, I ended up finding somebody from college that was working in media, and she gave me the first opportunity. So I started doing radio. And I remember that it was very interesting at first, because I wasn't doing entertainment. I was doing hard news, and it was very intense. I had to wake up 3:30 a.m. And at 4:30 a.m. I was the moderator of a panel that will be an informative show in everything that was happening in the world. And so I will wake up at 3:30 to find out all the
current events.
The very bad things that happen in the world. So he was waking up to the very dark realities of our race. And then I will be talking about that, and then it will be a regular radio show from 5 to 10 a.m. And that's how I started my career in media in New York. And then I moved on to television because the same friend that helped me with my first job in radio, she was assigned with the direction of NTN24 that you talked about before, Nuestra Telenoticias. And she had had a couple of opportunities working here in New York where she had to go and cover red carpets. And she specialized in hard news, not in entertainment, and she asked me to help her. And since I loved this so much, I started doing it, and she said, okay, you need to work doing this. And when they gave her the direction of NTN24, she said, please, Alfonso, I need to have the most important stars in the world of entertainment talking to us with the microphone, with the logo of our network, because we need to establish our brand. And that's how I started my career as a red carpet correspondent, which was what she basically wanted at first. But as you know, it evolved into many other things.
Yeah. I mean, you cover a lot. What do you cover now?
Well, the thing is that she wanted that at first. And little by little, I discovered that here in New York, there's a lot to do. And I refuse to believe that people are just happy with a certain aspect of entertainment that is the light part, the reality television, the reality stars, the other type that people are so accustomed to. And it pains me because I really believe that there is a possibility to entertain and inform. And so I started talking to new musicians, new actors, new actresses, Latinos that are trying to open up their world of possibilities, that want to, creators that want to tell stories that are made for Latinos to star in. And so my show and my outlet has become a platform for a lot of Latinos that are making movies, that are acting, that are writing songs, that are doing poetry, to be known, to have a little exposure, and that is very useful for them. I mix that with, obviously, the big stars of Hollywood that I have been blessed to be able to talk to, those idols that you once upon a time had in my room in Bogota. I had posters of people, and now I can say that I talked to them. And so yes, it's a mix of everything, and I have discovered that I can do this without gossip. I have never done gossip, so yes. There is a way to inform people being respectful.
I know, and I think it's one of the reasons that a lot of us, and I want to say not only the performers but the other publicists and professionals of the field, you know, that we love you for that. You know, it's so needed. And you know, Alfonso, I think that whatever compelled you to move forward and find, you know, all these other actors, it's one of the reasons that I started to do this program too, because I absolutely love arts and culture. And as a publicist for so long, I really missed platforms for not only emerging performers or artists, but also sometimes well-established artists, you know?
And I find that there are a lot of great performers that belong to another era, older than us, that are being forgotten. So my mission is also to remind of these younger generations that these people exist, and these people, they opened the doors for the new performers that they're so enchanted with. You know, I love the fact that you have been, I follow these this podcast that you have started, and I see that it's also something that you do, and it pleases me so much to hit play and hear these voices and hear the stories, and I also try to do it because it's not only to give the opportunity to new talents, but also to remind people that there is a history that cannot be forgotten.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, and I hope, and I know I will, I'll reach out to more of those people, you know. I think that they're in the playing field that we're in, arts and culture, entertainment, there's so many fantastic people that don't get, you know, time and space to speak their heart or
exactly.
their mind, you know?
Yeah, people who have very, very, very cool stories.
Right.
People that have anecdotes that you hear and you have a sense. They illuminate when they tell you these stories, and you are so excited to not only get the information, but to see how it impacted them and how marked them forever. Mm. It's something that it always is fascinating to me.
Yeah, but you know what? It's funny. I mean, I don't know that I fully agree with the notion, and you're not the only one, you're not alone, that millennials, you know, have short attention spans. In my experience with millennials, sure, I have a short attention span. I get bored easily. But
you have the heart of a millennial.
Yeah, sometimes I feel like I do. And, you know, actually, you know, I know several of them, and I find them in the – I don't want to talk to as if there are some other, you know, creed and they come from another planet, but I think it's definitely a generation that when I've come across them, and I do often, I find them to be very profound, and actually, like, they are engaged, and I find them to be readers, and I think
Do you think that is super important, and the reason why I really believe this, and I think that mm-hmm. nowadays mm-hmm. People get the information from so many different sources.
Yeah, that's true.
And so, I don't know if you go through this, but I do, mm-hmm. I see millennials that they are capable of paying attention to different things at the same time, and they are bombarded with a lot of things at the same time. They can be watching television while doing something in the computer, while listening to some music, while doing something else, checking
right.
photos in Instagram.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's always not one, two, or three, or four things, but I was raised, and I don't know how it was with you. We still have to have a glass of wine over this.
Yeah, yes.
But we were not so bombarded with so many things. So we could dedicate our time to something more specific, to reading, to do something with any other distractions. I don't know, but I feel that allows a more intimate experience with whatever you have in front of you, whether it's the book, the story of this person, even a TV show.
Mm-hmm. No, I think you're right in terms of the conundrum of multitasking, you know?
Yes.
On one hand, and I think it's true, like if you can only do so much, so it's better to handle the task at hand, you know, one thing mm-hmm. at a time. But yeah, I mean, it's a different life, it's a different culture now. Pero, por ejemplo, last week at the march, there were so many young people. So many young people. It was intergenerational. And so to have that many, I mean, I was in D.C., I don't know about other cities, but to have seen and witnessed so many young people be so aware of all the melee that, you know, we're going through, it was lovely. It was inspiring. I mean, this is our future.
That was beautiful, powerful,
yeah.
And
yeah.
It's so amazing that you were there, and I wanted to be there, but I couldn't. But it is really amazing. And what concerns me at times is that there is one level of I want to participate in something because everybody is. And
yeah.
There is a big mass, right. A big chunk that was there because of the meaning of it, because
yeah.
of the message that wanted to be sent across.
Yeah.
So there are many aspects.
Yeah.
And please understand that I'm not against the younger generations because I love them
no,
with all
of
my
course,
heart.
Of course, of course.
So many friends that are much younger than me. But But it's just that I see that the experience of the world mm-hmm. around us has really, really changed. And sometimes we need to just stop a little bit and breathe and see everything that we have around.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I agree. It's just that I have this conversation often with, you know, with Sophia Guida, my good friend and mm-hmm. and current housemate of mine. And she's, you know, millennial. So we have these conversations that are like profound and it's fun. You know, it's a good one to have. But back to this press thing, when you go to Colombia, do you participate of, you still work with NTN when you're there?
No, when I go to Colombia, mm-hmm. I go on vacation.
Okay.
So, but yes, I know how things work there. Mm-hmm. As you know, you must be in contact with everybody in order to be aware of everything that is happening. And our network is very good in terms of having an open communication, so you know what is happening, who is doing what, and where and how.
Mm. Right. Yeah. And NTN, es un canal bien grande.
It is huge right now. It is a very impressive story because mm-hmm. NTN 24 started almost 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. And now we have viewership in more than 23 countries. And there are millions of subscribers. Mm-hmm. So we have our headquarters are in Bogota, in Colombia, but we have the offices here in New York. Mm-hmm. We have offices in Miami. We have studios. We have correspondents in different parts of the United States. We have a big, big studio in Washington. And you know that we do shows here in New York. We do shows in Washington. Right. We do shows in Los Angeles. And we have correspondents everywhere in the world that go and
cover their news.
And cover whatever is happening in anywhere that their presence is required there. They move quickly and we have people everywhere.
Wow, that's so incredible, no?
It is big. It is big. We started as an option for people who speak Spanish and want to know what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
It's very international. It is very competitive and is very fast in terms of delivering information. But also there is also something that is very very interesting about what we do, and is the fact that we debate a lot mm-hmm. all the topics that happen. Like, for example, with Trump's election, of course, everybody is concerned, everybody is preoccupied for different reasons. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. we have had people that are pro-Trump, against Trump, every aspect of the political arena discussing everything that is going on and everything that they're feeling, and it is very cool to watch these shows where you see all of these very different people in these very intense conversations.
Right, and all of these they're taking place in the Latin American region or also in the United States.
Everywhere. The panels can be moderated either in Colombia or in Washington or in New York or in Los Angeles. And so you will see the screen divided in four or whatever number of people you have at the same time. And somebody can be discussing here in New York, somebody can be discussing in Washington, somebody can be discussing in Ecuador or Mexico. Mm-hmm. And so you see not only different views of the world, but you see people in different parts of the world sharing those views.
Incredible. And what's the most challenging part about being an entertainment correspondent?
The most difficult part is to make people understand the respectful way in which I approach the world of entertainment. And when I say this, is because I don't subtract the merits of other types of coverage.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes people see you as a Latino reporter in entertainment, and they think immediately that you're going to go, like other outlets that are not Latino,
mm-hmm.
Directly to the gossip.
Right.
So it has been very hard, but as you know, I have given a big fight explaining what I do with examples of my coverage and to make people be aware of that has been a major task.
Right.
It's hard.
Yeah, I know.
But it's good too, because it marks a difference. And the other day I was doing a red carpet, and it was a tribute to Warren Beatty, and one of the guests was Matthew Broderick with his wife, Sarah Jessica Parker, and she wasn't doing interviews.
Mm-hmm.
She was near me, and I said, okay, this is not work. I am going to have a conversation with her, and I approached and started talking, and everybody was so puzzled about what are they talking about, what's going on there. And it was a conversation about acting, performing, her new show, and I never ask anything personal. And the more I continue with the conversation, the more I realize that these people love to talk about their craft. They love to talk about what they do. And she did a film years ago called Spitting Into Butter, which is about racial issues, mm-hmm. in college.
Mm.
And so I asked her about that, and she completely became this nerd talking about these issues, and she was very intense, and it was beautiful. We had great conversation, and I felt very happy because this reaffirms my theory that it is possible to do entertainment with serious conversations, and
yeah.
and our conversation can be interesting without the element of gossip. That doesn't mean that I disrespect whoever does gossip, because you know what? That's something that is there,
mm-hmm.
and it's good. It's okay that they do it, but I do not do it. And going back to the challenges of my job, I think that will be it,
yeah.
to prove people that I do something different, to show them.
Right. Exactly. Right. It's earning the reputation, right?
It's earning a reputation. And I see that sometimes I get invited to events,
mm-hmm.
where they know that this is not going to be the situation, that nobody's going to ask an uncomfortable question, that nobody's going to ask a personal question. Because at the end of the day, I have always been convinced that so it is so amazing that these people do what they do, singers, performers. It's fantastic. And whatever happens with their personal life belongs to them.
Yeah.
I mean, unless they commit a crime, that's
right.
Something that we as a community have to, like look at.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
But when it is something that they do in their intimacy, it's something that is not important to me.
Yeah, go ahead. Well, I was gonna say I recently had this experience at a red carpet. I actually invited you to it, but you couldn't make it. I don't want to call out the event, but I managed in a very tight space that we had for the carpet to get the shot with all the big stars, right?
Yes.
All of them, Alfonso. I was lining it up. I was like, okay, this is the photo op.
Oh, my God.
And the last big star that we were waiting for, they were all the other guys, all the other women, they were waiting. And someone, and I wasn't aware of this until after, someone asked the big star a personal question. And he got really angry. He got really angry. His manager got really angry. And so when he's coming towards the picture, I'm like, stop. The manager yelled at me. He's like, get out of my way. We're going in. We're not answering any questions. And I'm like, no, it's not a question. It's just a photo. So like, of course, you know, it was ruined. They left. And I'm there like, I cannot believe it. I'm like, what happened? And you know, the senior publicist up then, she was like, well, this happened. And I was like, man, so
this
close.
Happens, yeah, and it happens a lot in red carpet. So you know that I do a lot of red carpet, and that happens a lot.
Oh,
when
God.
Somebody's coming and you're like, oh my God, and you see them from afar,
yeah,
and you're like, this is the day that I'm going to talk to this person, and I'm gonna be the happiest professional in the planet,
yeah.
And then, wow, they get to somebody, and somebody asks that personal, uncomfortable, inappropriate question,
yeah,
and they just get mad and leave,
yeah.
And you miss the opportunity because
right.
of another person that
right.
went that way,
right? Exactly,
so frustrating,
it's so frustrating, and so you know, I guess also, you know, that principle, standard that you have of not doing that, you know, is elegant. It's hard, but it's worth it. You know, it's worth it because in the end, you end up cultivating and having a deeper network. You know, and the people that do get to talk to you, you know, will always be so glad that it's you.
And they remember.
Exactly. That's
they
the thing.
Remember. And that
right.
is something that I have realized. And after the second time that you talk to somebody, they know. Like George Clooney will know that I will not ask him something uncomfortable. And that is something very good for me. I think that this is a very interesting world. And this is it is a privilege that we love so much to do what we do. But it also let us... because we're so close and because we think about it, we understand how we all have the right to our private lives.
Yeah, most definitely. And especially nowadays with all of this, you know, surveillance, monitoring, you know, I think there is a place to say, you know, my privacy is my privacy. And my private life is my private life.
Correct.
And,
correct. That
yeah.
is correct.
Yeah.
There's something also. Something that I wanted to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
I love talking to these huge stars, but I also love talking to the newcomers.
Yeah.
And when a huge star, a Hollywood star, you interview them. And they realize that you have studied for hours every detail that you need about the production that they're working on, how was the process for them to get there. They're happy, and they expect that.
Mm-hmm.
But I have realized that the newcomers never expect, for some reason that I don't understand, they never expect that you have studied also equally as much as you do for the big stars. And here in our studios, we have had so many people that come, and they're so surprised, and they are so thankful in the end. And I think that that is so unfair, because they should not be thankful. That's what should be expected from a professional in entertainment. Not because we do entertainment, we have to not be responsible and study hard for each interview.
Right. No, I get that. I know it's one of I know that about you, and I like I said in the beginning, I appreciate that tremendously, respect that tremendously, and it's a pleasure to see. So now, what new things are you cooking up, and like what's brewing in the horizon?
Well, I just have this 2017 to further my exploration of what I can do with my show.
Mm-hmm.
There is also, other than NTN24, NTN24 belongs to a huge organization, RCN Networks Colombia. But RCN Networks Colombia has other products, other TV stations, and one of them is Nuestra Tele.
Mm-hmm.
In a month, it's going to be the third anniversary of my own show that airs daily from 5 to 6 p.m., also in more than 20 countries that speak Spanish. And it's called Tenemos que Hablar, We Have to Talk.
I love it.
And in my show, I mix everything. I mix the super famous celebrity with the not very known celebrity, and I talk about television and movies and what is new and exciting, and I do it in a very relaxed way that I want to use because I think it's the way to be relaxed, but, you know, solid in my information to reach not only the millennials but also other generations that could be interested in what I'm talking about and in this world of entertainment shown in a different way. So when I play with NTN24, I play with the rules.
Yeah.
But when I play with Tenemos que Hablar, it's my game, my role. Right. And so this year I want to just continue exploring that. And I'm telling you the way in which I can work on being a platform for new talents and to also tell stories that are interesting and appealing and sometimes funny and keep it casual but solid.
Yeah. And tell me something, like the rhythm of, so you have a daily show and plus what the other things you do.
Yes.
So how is the rhythm of research and reading? ¿Cómo tú llevas eso? It's very, I'm thinking like, I think it's a little bit crazy.
Never stops.
Right.
That never stops. My husband, Richard, who's a lawyer, and I admire him very much. He works with Landau Legal. He is a very understanding person because I could be a Saturday or a Sunday. I'm always getting information. I'm always getting emails. I'm always looking for opportunities to do coverage. I'm always reading something. I'm always writing something. I have an excellent team for my show.
Mm-hmm.
I have people around me that do a lot of things, and I also am very hands-on everything. When, as you can imagine, for my TV show, I have a group of people, and at our first meeting, I told them, I'm not your boss. You're not my employees. We are all the same, and we're going to do everything together. And we became friends, and we work in an amazing environment, and everybody does everything. So I can be writing or helping with the script, and somebody's doing camera, somebody's doing, like, we all work on different things, and I, because I have this responsibility and the other responsibility with NTN24, doing my red carpets, my junkets, my fashion week that is coming now, all the film festivals, I am always in the zone.
Yeah.
So it is a very active and it's a very intense rhythm, but it's very exciting and I love it.
I am so proud of you, Alfonso. See, this is a beautiful way to end. You just said, and I love it, you know, your job. How lucky are you?
Yeah, I am very fortunate to say that I absolutely adore what I do, and it's what moves me to work until whatever hour at night and to wake up at whatever hour in the morning, so early or whatever. I am very, very happy, and I think that you can feel that in my voice, and I think that you can see it in my face every time that we hug and say hello to each other.
Yeah. All right, we'll carry on a conversation on another time about other topics. But for now, I want to thank you. And I think,
you know, I'm always here for you, Sol, and I love you very much.
Likewise,
and I respect you very much.
Likewise, my dear. Buenas noches.
Buenas noches.